I'm going to introduce now our special guest today. I appreciate Pastor Glenn being available to help minister today. We've had such a busy week here. I know there'll be no time to prepare a message. That'll be something that I need to be delivering out in the right way today. So I asked Pastor Glenn to come here and help us out this morning. He said he would do that. He actually pastors a great church on the other side of town, the west side of town in Lakeway. It's called River in the Hills. He's got a wife named Suzanne. His son named Kyle is preaching today in his absence at their church as well. This man's joined me in overseas trips. He's had some good adventures together. And we've seen some good things happening here by people, I know, getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. We've seen healings take place. We've seen leadership concepts released upon the people there in Botswana, places he's gone to as well. He's got a prophetic mantle upon his life, also a great heart for Israel and a great heart for praise and worship to the Lord our God. I just appreciate Glenn's heart that he takes time every day just to be close to God, intimate with God, worship him. The Bible says those who know their God, they will be strong and they will do exploits. This is a man of exploits who is strong in God. Let's go ahead and welcome today, once again, back to our pulpit here, Pastor Glenn Hubbard. God bless you.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Mike. Bless you. I'm a hugger. I like to hug. So, amen. Amen. I would like us to pray one more time before we get into what the Lord's put on my heart today. And if you don't mind, I'm glad you're keeping that up, because I have a word for something the Lord's put on my heart for this body. Father, I thank you for this, your church, for your precious ones. I thank you for just that glimpse today through worship and through James that of how much their worship touches your heart, moves you. I thank you, Jesus, for the joy set before you. You endured the cross. The joy before you, even during those times of agony, was that looking and longing forward to the bride, to that day. And even now, you're looking forward to that day in which you will return and there will be the marriage supper of the Lamb. I thank you for this wedding weekend. I ask for even Jesus, as you performed that miracle at Cana, first miracle you performed was turning water into wine at a wedding. I thank you for the new wine of your Spirit, even now being released to bring joy, to bring garments of praise for spirits of heaviness. I thank you just for a lightness even now, breaking off heaviness. Some with worries, some with even the mind has started going into being concerned about this week or the family thing. It's like these thoughts try to crash in of unbelief and oppression and accusation. In Jesus' name, I break those. We invite the spirit of wisdom and revelation to be released today in the knowledge of you, Jesus, that you would be glorified. May we respond to your word. May there be a combustion that takes place on the inside of us of your spirit with the logs of your scripture causing combustion to take place, that we could bring transformation in us and in our world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, you have, I asked Greg to hand out some notes to follow along. There's a lot of some scriptural passages I wanted you to at least be able to follow along with. This doesn't mean I'm going to cover all that, but something you can look at and take home and study as well. Before I share on this, the main word on my heart today, I was praying this week and I had a word on my heart for this body, the Tree of Life. And it's interesting because I didn't realize it looked like that. You know, this bright white, you know, that tree is like this brightness. What I had in my heart was Matthew 5:14 through 16, that you are the light of the world and you're a city set on a hill spiritually as a church. That each of you who've come to Christ, you individually have the light of God in you. You've received Jesus. You are reflecting his light. But together, when you come together corporately, it's like you are a city set on a hill, emanating light through this community, through your sphere of influence. That's why picture Tree of Life, kind of tree of light, shooting out the light of God into the darkness. How many of you know there's darkness in our world? There is a rival kingdom described in Scripture by Jesus and all throughout the Word as the kingdom of darkness. And the only answer to dispelling darkness is light. You don't take buckets and try to fill them up. If a room is dark, you don't try to take buckets and fill them up with darkness and then throw them out the window. That would be fruitless. The way to get rid of darkness is to turn on the light, to release the light. And if we want to walk in more light, we need to be before the one who is light. Because, you know, the moon is bright at night, a full moon, but the moon is not the source of the light, is it? The moon reflects the light of the sun. None of this is in my notes, by the way. I'm just talking right now because I believe this is something the Lord has for us to see this. You're a city set on a hill. You're the light, a light in this area. And you have been shining for years. You have guided many people, kind of like a lighthouse, into safe harbor. And like a lighthouse, you've also, as a church, warned people from the dangers ahead. But what I saw as I was praying this week for you was a word in my heart that the Lord was wanting to exchange, in a sense, exchange the light bulbs in this church, in you individually and in this church corporately, from the normal incandescent bulbs, whatever they are, to LED. I saw the word LED, the LED in my spirit as I was praying. He wants to bring LED light to this church. It's an upgrade of the light of God. Now, I'm not a scientist, I'm not an engineer, so thankfully there's internet, and I got to look up what LED meant. Have you ever heard of LED lights, right? I think this is lit by it, I don't know. But I looked it up, and LED means light emitting diode. And what the interesting things about modern LEDs is they are much brighter, they have very high brightness, but they don't waste energy. They're energy efficient, they run cooler, they don't get hot, they have a much longer endurance, much longer life than regular light bulbs. And I was telling our intercessor, I have this word for Tree of Life tomorrow in our prayer time yesterday, and I'm like, I actually told her, I said, I wish this word was for us too, but it's for Tree of Life, you know. So I may try to ask it for our body too, but he's wanting, what it is about the LED lights is they're stronger, I mean, they're longer lasting, they're energy efficient, they don't waste energy, they run cooler, they shine brighter, and they transcend the visible. In the notes on the internet, they are available across the visible, ultraviolet, and infrared wavelengths. So I wrote this, the light from this house is both visible, people see your good works, they see your ministry, they see the light of your lives, and it's also not visible to the natural eye because it's something happening in the spirit. You as a church that is saying, Lord, here we are, God's giving you LED light, and then there's a combining with other ministries in this area, you're pushing back the darkness in this area. One more thing, and I love how the Lord kind of puts these things together. He said, one more thing. This LED light is released as you are LED by the Holy Spirit. As you are led, LED, not LEAD, LED by the Spirit, He is releasing this LED light. You're not going to strive in the flesh. You know, when you strive to minister in the flesh, you burn out. You know, they call a light bulb, when it expires, burned out. As you are a church led by the Spirit, but as you continue to say, Holy Spirit, lead us in that which we're doing. Lead me as head of my family or in the workplace. There's going to be that greater release of the light of the Lord, greater influence, greater strength from the Lord to where you don't burn out. And like LED lights, they're not as fragile. You'll be able to endure through attacks and trials. It's a precious word for this body. I just want us to pause right now and just receive. Do you all as leaders receive? Thank you, Father, for the even as Cheryl was talking about the drought ending, and in intercession, the precious ones were praying for increase, for new levels. I thank you, Lord, for exchanging. Not that the light from this house hasn't been a beautiful thing and very effective, but I thank you for the release of greater lumens in the Spirit, greater authority on their words and on their actions for the end time harvest, for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I didn't plan this way, but I want to talk about today something related to this word, to you being a powerful light in your family, your marriage, your workplace, your neighborhood, and as a church. I want to talk about a model of evangelism that's found in the New Testament that is something that I believe the Lord is highlighting for this body right now. You are an evangelistic church there, but the Lord is wanting to, I believe, release a fresh grace in the area of what I call, and others in the body of Christ have called, power evangelism. Power evangelism. In your notes, the Roman numeral one there, just so we know, the word evangelism, so we're all on the same page. It sounds like a fancy church word, theological word, but it basically comes from two Greek words meaning good message or good news. And we're all called to do the work of an evangelist. We're not all evangelists, but we're all called to do the work of an evangelist, meaning we're all called to tell people the good news of Jesus, of his death, of his life, his death on the cross, his burial, his resurrection from the dead 3 days later, and how if they receive Christ into their heart, they will not perish but have everlasting life. They'll be called children of God. That's the good message, and we've all been called to tell the good message. How many of you like telling good news, right? I mean, if you went into Dillard's and there was an 80% off sign on certain clothes, or Dillard's, or black, the White House Black Market, is that right? I have a wife and an older daughter, so I know, isn't that a store for people that I don't go to, but it's a, all right? So if you went into one of these stores and there was this awesome clothes on this table, 80% off, and they happened to perfectly, you knew your friend's size and they fit your friend, 80% off, you'd want to get on the phone and tell them the good news, right? So good news is something that we should want to share, want to do. It's just natural. Well, real quickly, there are three models of evangelism I see in the New Testament. Won't take much time on this. These were words taken from a theologian in England named Graham Tomlin. He's the professor of the principal of St. Miletus College in London. But he says there's three kinds of evangelism in New Testament. There's classical evangelism, holistic evangelism, and power evangelism. Classical evangelism, it's not in your notes, but it's the unchanging, timeless message of Jesus Christ, him crucified, him raised from the dead 3 days later. Then there is the holistic evangelism. That's feeding the poor, reaching out to those in need, showing the love of Jesus to others, and demonstrating, caring about social justice, and being involved in seeing wrongs become right in our world. That's holistic evangelism, because God cares about the whole person. And then there's this that I want us to look at in these few minutes, power evangelism. In the New Testament, throughout the New Testament, the gospel, the good news, was accompanied with supernatural power. It was true in Jesus' ministry, in his disciples' ministry, in Paul's ministry later on, and I believe today, in 2015, God wants to accompany our proclamation of the gospel with divine power as well. I know many people, many, many, many people who've come to Christ without seeing some form of power demonstration or a sign and a wonder. I know that is true. But I wonder today, I pose the question to you, how many more people might come to Christ if we as the church stood up and said, Lord, I'm not quite sure how all this works, but I see it throughout Scripture that when they told people about the good news of Jesus, there was also power that came along with that message, and they turned to Christ. Lord, use me. How many more today might come to Christ if we would say, I'm available, Lord, to use me in power as well? Now, I was standing back there during worship, and I felt like I wanted to share with you a little impression to encourage some of you that as you're going to hear this today, you may think to yourself, well, I'm not Pastor Mike. I'm not Pastor Cheryl. I'm not one of those that moves in power like that. And I really want to encourage you that your heart qualifies you. That yes inside you that loves Jesus, that loves those people you work with, that you see throughout your day, that part of you that says, Lord, I know they don't know you. I know if they died today, their eternal salvation is not sure. Lord, would you use me any way you can? Can you, here I am, Lord. The Lord's like, I can work with somebody like that. Yeah. Yeah, but I didn't go to all these seminary classes. I didn't take the 10 CD course on evangelism. The Lord's like, no, you've got a heart. Yeah. Says, I love, Lord, fill me with your love. I want to love others the way you love me. And he'll help you with that. He'll say, I can work with somebody like that. I'm one of those guys. I'm like, I don't know, but here I am. And so many times he's guided me along. I'm like, what are you doing? I'm like, I don't know. I just care about that person. So I want us to look at some examples. I want to let the scripture just kind of just to look through scripture, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I want us to see some examples of power evangelism in Jesus' ministry, disciples' ministry, Paul's ministry, and then talk a little bit about ours, what we can do today. Before that, I want us to look at letter B there under Roman numeral 1. This is a definition of power evangelism that I got from John Wimber, who is the founder of the Vineyard Churches back in 1980s, early 80s, late 70s. And this is his definition of power evangelism. A presentation of the gospel which is rational, but also transcends the rational. Let me stop right there. It's presenting the good news of Jesus in a way that's logical. The people can understand what's going on. Your mind can process it. But that it also is a presentation that transcends the rational. It's not irrational, like that's nuts, but it transcends the rational. It's what we might call transrational. It's transrational in that it comes with a demonstration of the power of God through signs and wonders and introduces the presence of God in a tangible way to people. I'm just reading here in the notes. It is a presentation of the gospel that introduces the manifest presence of God. Now, last night, my son and I, my family, we were watching, and we sometimes on Saturday nights they have old Billy Graham crusades on TBN. And he was in Tacoma, Washington in 1991 last night sharing the gospel. It was amazing. As you're familiar with Billy Graham crusades, right? He gives the altar call and there's hundreds and hundreds of people coming forward. That was classical evangelism. Now, Billy Graham is anointed by the power of the Holy Spirit, but there weren't signs and wonders that accompanied that revival meeting. See, I'm trying to help you see the difference, right? They came forward, they received the presentation of the gospel, the Holy Spirit totally saved these people that came forward. They got born again. But it wasn't the kind of evangelism that I think the Lord wants to also have the church involved in. We totally want that kind of evangelism, all right? But there's more, and we'll look at it here in Scripture. We'll see it. So I want us to look at at the scriptures here. First one is Matthew 9:35. Evangelism was a part of Jesus' ministry. Jesus not only proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom, he demonstrated it. Let's look at this verse here. It's right in scripture, Matthew 9:35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. That's power evangelism. He preached the gospel, and then he healed people. You see, power evangelism is both message and ministry, word and works, proclamation and demonstration. And that's what Jesus did. It says this is what he did. Mark 5:22 is an example. Jesus has a crowd thronging him at the time. We're going to look at this. We'll just go ahead and read this. But Jairus' daughter got raised from the dead. But let's look at it. This is Jesus in power evangelism. Behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, when Jairus saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, begged him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live." Thank you, Lord. So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now, I'm not quite sure what thronging him means, but they thronged him. They were crowding around him. They were pressing in. Why were they thronging Jesus? Because he was doing signs and wonders. What do signs and wonders do? They point. What do wonders do? They make you wonder. That's deep theology, isn't it? So Jesus is doing signs and wonders. He's pointing the way to salvation, to who he is as Messiah. He's performing signs and wonders. People are wondering. They're going, "Hey, come check out this teacher." So they're thronging him. Jairus, the ruler, a Jewish high up in Judaism, he's a ruler of the synagogue. His daughter's about to die. So he asked Jesus to come and lay his hands on his daughter. So Jesus, verse 24, Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. We stop right there and say, human predicament. When people are in times of trial and crisis, that's many times when they're open to the good news of Jesus. And a church that's ready with love, compassion, and power can make all the difference in their life. So here they are following him, and Jairus is crying out. He's very tender and open to receiving, to seeing Jesus as Messiah. On the way, I won't go into this, but on the way, Jesus is like, "Okay, Jairus, we're going to go to your house, and I'm going to pray for your daughter." On the way is that touching story where the woman with the issue of blood presses through the crowd, touches the hem of his garment, gets completely healed. It's awesome. Everybody's, "This is great." But picture yourself if you're Jairus. You're Jairus. All you can probably think about is your daughter's about to die. You're not sure. At that point, Jairus didn't know he was the Messiah. He knew he was a teacher who moved in power. So Jairus probably was a little upset. Just think about it. I mean, he's excited that the woman gets healed, but he's like, wait, Jesus, I had first dibs. You know, you were going to come to my house. Because what happens is after this great healing, when I say he got upset probably, is because look at verse 35. Well, he was still speaking. Someone came from Jairus' house, the ruler of the synagogue's house, and said, "Your daughter is dead." Like Jairus, it's too late. She's dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? So that's why I say Jairus' face just probably fell. "Oh, Jesus, if you'd only been here sooner, if you'd only come." Well, verse 36, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." and he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Then he went to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult, crowd just really upset, and those who wept and wailed loudly. When Jesus came in, he said to them, "Why make this commotion and weep? This child is not dead. She's sleeping." Verse 40, and they ridiculed him. Let me stop there. They're ridiculing Jesus. Why were they ridiculing Jesus? Because they thought Jesus wasn't clued into reality. They're thinking, oh, man, this guy, she's dead. What's he saying? Well, see, Jesus was aware of another reality. He had the LED light going. Remember I said the LED light goes beyond the visible eye. He said in another place in John, he said, I do what I see the Father doing. I say what I hear the Father saying. She's not dead. She sleepeth, meaning she's about to be raised from the dead because my Father said this is what I'm going to do today, what he's going to do through me. So don't, here's lesson number one on some of this power evangelism stuff. You may be ridiculed sometimes. It's a little bit risky to step out in praying for people and moving out in the ways that the gifts of the Spirit and trying to help someone. You may not, everybody may not always go, yay, right there. They were ridiculing Jesus. But he fought through that. He said, but when he had put them all outside, so he didn't want people mocking him while he's praying for his daughter. Well, he put them all outside. He took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was laying. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kumai," which is translated, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." Now, why is that in there like that, "Talitha kumai"? Because that's Aramaic. That was Jesus' language when he was his boyhood language. That's what the people understood. That's what Jairus' daughter understood, but the scripture there, Mark translates it as "daughter, arise," because the Roman audience, the people, the Romans reading this wouldn't know what that meant. So that's why it's in there, "I say to you, arise." Now here's the key. Here's all it is. Verse 42, immediately the girl arose, she was dead or looked dead, and walked. She arose and walked. For she was 12 years old, and here it is, and they were overcome with great amazement. Now, when you read further in the text, I believe there is a conversion dynamic here. Jairus and the whole household, I believe they all turned to the Lord. It's implicit to the text, it's not explicitly stated, but you get the impression that this marvelous deed not only brought this girl back to life, but it had a dynamic in which evangelism occurred as an aftermath. That's power evangelism. So it was in Jesus' ministry. It was in the early disciples' ministry. Let's look at letter B there, paragraph B. Luke 9:2, Jesus called the 12 disciples and sent them to preach the kingdom of God and heal the sick. You see the connection? Luke 10:9, he calls the 70 and he says to them, similar, he says, heal the sick and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you. And that's what they did. If you notice, to the 12, he said, preach, then heal. In Luke 10:9, he says, heal, then preach. So in one case, it's works, then word. It's message, then ministry. In the other case, it's word, then works. Well, let me back up. I twisted that around. In the first case there, it's message, then ministry. The second case, it's ministry, heal the sick, and then message. If you demonstrate first and proclaim, it doesn't matter which order you do it in. Sometimes they get healed or God touches them, and then you say, this is that. This is a good God who just touched you, you see. So you don't have to preach and then have the power come afterwards. It's just us being available. I noticed a couple weeks ago, the book of Acts is called Acts. Think about it. It's called Acts. It's not just words. It's Acts. Now, that's free, by the way. That's really deep theology right there. Book of Acts means Acts. I would actually probably rename, if I did this, you know, it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit through people like you and I who said, just use me, Lord. But that would be too long a title for a book in the Bible, so it's the Acts of people who said, yes, Lord. They did it. They didn't just talk about it. They didn't just say the message. So I want to look at a couple examples here before we move on of the disciples. This guy named Aeneas, A-E-N-E-A-S, Acts 9, 36. Excuse me, Acts 9, 32. Now, it came to pass as Peter went through all the parts of the country. This is so Peter. This isn't Jesus. This is Peter. That he also came down to the saints who dwelt at a village named Lydda, L-Y-D-D-A. There he found a certain man named Aeneas, who had been bedridden 8 years and was paralyzed. I want to stop right there and say, when someone like Aeneas was bedridden for 8 years, there was probably a lot more going on than just he was paralyzed and in a bed for 8 years. He was probably not only bedridden physically, but he was probably bedridden in his faith too. He probably was thinking, this is never going to end. I've had a lot of people pray for me. I'm just not a lot of faith on Aeneas' part. Can you imagine being in bed for 8 years? I'll just be honest with this. I may not get a lot of amens or anything, but through the years, as I've prayed for certain people who have had chronic, long-term conditions, especially because we have a food pantry and we have a lot of people come in to get food, it's amazing, but many times I ask if I can pray for them for healing, and they don't want prayer, and their reason is because they don't want to lose their benefits from the government. They're like, if I get healed, I'll have to get a job again. Or I'll have to, you know, I'm going to give up my monthly benefits. And I'm like, really? You know, but why is that? That's sad. But it's saying they've got their minds conditioned. So when you encounter certain people, you're not just praying for that physical thing. There's things going on in their head that we need the power of God to break through and cast those lies out, that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Especially it helps if he's healed you in some way. You can give a testimony right then to help them. So here's Aeneas, been bedridden 8 years, verse 34. And Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you. Arise and make your bed. Then he arose immediately. So all who dwelt, listen to this line here. This is amazing. Jesus does the miracle. He does the ministry. He does the works. Then look at verse 35. So all who dwelt at Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. Two whole villages came to Jesus because one man got healed. Power evangelism. I mean, think about that. Two whole villages, you know, you can just see the guy in Lydda or in Sharon, he's going, yeah, you know that guy who's been in bed 8 years? Yeah, you mean the one I deliver Chinese food to his bed every Friday night? Yeah, I deliver pizza to him every Tuesday night. He's out of bed. He's walking. How is that? Because see, they knew it had to be something supernatural, someone behind that. I want to encourage your faith, church, to ask for big things. You have not because you ask not. I'm asking down in Lakeway for city-shaking type miracles. For people who have it in their head, they can't get healed, just keep stepping out saying, Lord, use me. Well, this was them there in Acts 9, Peter. Now, let me stop there and just say this too. Do you think Peter had to still explain salvation to those people? I think he did. See, he did the miracle. The man got out of the bed. But I still think there's still the need for the presentation of the gospel in a logical way. I think though the text doesn't say it, there was communication and understanding that had to take place. They still had to work through the theological implications of what they were deciding. So he still had to tell them the good news. But the power, my point really here is that this dynamic, to see that this dynamic of how when the Spirit of God moves, please hear this, when the Spirit of God moves, it causes people's receptivity to God to increase. That's what's happening with power evangelism. When God is moving. How many of you have been in times when you know God is moving in that place? Can I see your hands? You've been in times when you know it's Him. It can be uncomfortable. It can be a little scary. But it can also be awesome. It can be exhilarating, because when you see what God is doing, you're in His presence and He's doing things. It puts you in a different state of mind than you would be if you were just operating in a less spiritually charged environment. So power evangelism, move the gifts of the Spirit, help to open up people's receptivity. Number two there, Dorcas, restored to life. Yes, her actual name was Dorcas. But she had good things happen to her, so it's all good. Verse 36, Acts 9. At Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. I'm not going to go too much longer, by the way. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. She was a precious woman of God there, looks like. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. And since Lydda was near Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. So this isn't Jesus, this is Peter. Then Peter arose and went with them, When he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise, or Dorcas, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Then she gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. Here's power evangelism. Here's the correlation. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord. If you look at the way Jesus taught, the way he lived, the way he trained his disciples, Jesus was all about power evangelism. Power evangelism, as I said, it's that message and the ministry. It's that word and works. It's hearts that say, I want to be willing. Real quickly, letter C, Paul's ministry was also marked by power evangelism. In fact, and I'll just kind of summarize this statement here in Romans 15:18, Paul basically says, as a part of my ministry, I did mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit, so that from Jerusalem and all around about to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Paul calls it fully preaching the gospel. Please don't hear me today saying, what's wrong with us? You know, why aren't we? I want to inspire us that this is the standard. God wants to demonstrate his power to go along with his love. I think of this illustration. Which of you mothers or fathers have a sick child and they've got a horrible fever and you love them, you want to put a cold towel on their forehead, and you want to express love to them, and that's awesome. But how much more would you be excited if you could express love for them by not just putting a cold towel, but by laying your hand on them and saying, Holy Spirit, come heal them, and have that fever break, and have them be healed right then. It's demonstration of his love. So I'm excited today because I'm really preaching to me right now. I want to move in greater power evangelism. If Acts has 28 chapters, Acts is the mark or the record of how the church was begun and how the church should operate. It's the record we have of how the church should operate. If you removed every reference to the supernatural power of God, angels, signs, wonders, powers, gifts of the Spirit, if you removed every reference from the book of Acts, all 28 chapters, not one chapter would be left intact. Not one. And yet this is our record of how the church ought to operate. If the church doesn't operate now, if we don't go for this, and I believe God's releasing a grace on you to go for this, on us to go for this. If the church doesn't operate in power and it's just kind of left up to good, you know, all the only reason then churches really can grow and be healthy is if they have some really awesome speakers and teachers, which I'm not trying to just say it, but I love hearing your pastor teach and preach. And I know what the divine deposit in your leadership here. But the church wasn't meant to rest on someone's speaking gift or on someone's administrative gift. It's meant to rest upon hearts crying out to God, certainly order and leadership, but then the power of God being demonstrated as well. Would you stand up, if you would, to your feet? I'll leave the rest in there, especially the practical at the end for how to daily walk being available. I put it this way, my prayer for you, truly I'll be praying this for Tree of Life, is that daily, daily, you will be restfully available to be instantly obedient to demonstrating the good news of Jesus and telling the good news. I remember a time when I was, and you can start playing if you want, because I just felt this one last example part thing in my heart. I had come from a conference in St. Louis where there was a lot of ministry going on, and I was really had a lot of folks pray for me. So there was some sort of release in my life, and I'm believing today, not through me necessarily, but just in this place today on his heart, is to release a grace in your life. But I came back from that conference. I was on a church staff in Longview, Texas. And I was in the gymnasium locker room. And I was shaving and getting ready to go to an appointment. And in that gym locker room, back in the days, they had a telephone in the locker room. And there was a young teenage young man, on the telephone in the locker room, just loudly talking away, just blah, 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 and just cussing up a storm. And, you know, and I was like, ooh, boy, he's kind of obnoxious. That kind of went off in me. And then I go back in there, I start shaving. And instead of staying just like angry, like what a jerk, I felt the Holy Spirit give me a burden for him. And I had 10 minutes to get to my appointment. I'm shaving, and this is a dangerous prayer. I said, Lord, do you have anything for him? This is not really expecting much of anything. And then, so clear, the thoughts came back in my mind. Yes, his name is Jamal, and he's running from me. And I thought, wow. Maybe that wasn't you, Lord. I fought with him a little and thought, well, nah, I'm just kind of thinking it up, you know. Because I don't walk, that's not something you normally, you know. But I had come back from a place where they'd been praying for me. And so I've had some prophetic like that, but not much. So I get back to my locker, and he's still talking on the phone, just and I'm like, Lord, I got 3 minutes here. I got to go. If he doesn't hang up the phone, if you want me to give him this word, you got to get him off that phone. Of course, it was kind of a halfway cop out because I didn't want to give the word, and I was like, okay, good, countdown, 3, 2, 1, up. Too bad. But I'm there. I said, Lord, you got to do something because he's on the phone. I got to go. And so he's like, na 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 na. Hello? What? Hits the phone. He hangs up the phone. Goes, oh, man, the phone just cut off. So that was my cue, right? So I'm like, okay, Lord, here goes. So I go up to him, and I said, I know this may sound a little weird, but I was praying for you, and I said, does the name Jamal mean anything to you? And his eyes got really big. He goes, that's my middle name. And I said, well, I had something on my heart for you, and I felt like the Lord gave me your name, and he wants you to know he loves you, but you're running from him. And that young man, within 15 seconds, dropped to his knees over the bench at that gym, and he gave his heart to the Lord. Now, I don't know if he'd given his heart to the Lord in the past, and I had to go off after we prayed. I hadn't seen him since, but I say that to encourage, maybe not that kind of level of whatever, but just having the burden and saying, God, do you have something for him? The Lord may just give you a scripture or something like that. Whatever it is, I just want to ask you, I know you're willing to tell people about Jesus, but are you willing to say, Lord, here I am, would you use me in power evangelism as well? If you would, Lord, I want to be used in power evangelism. Could you lift your hands right now? Say that you, amen. See, even what you are doing there, you can put your hands down. Romans 6:13 says, we yield our members to him as instruments of righteousness. Just by raising your hand, I just would like you to just open your, if you feel comfortable, just have a position in an open position, because I want to pray for that LED light, for being led by the Spirit, for an increase, even now, Lord, an increase in discernment, for a charging up, or I just come against any kind of spiritual deafness. I come against distraction. There's some of you here in this room, you've been diagnosed with ADD or ADHD, and the Lord not only wants to heal of that and break that, but that in the spirit, he's taking care, getting rid of spiritual ADD so you can hear and stay focused in what the Lord would have you. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I come against that. I come against that spiritual deafness. I come against distraction. I come against busyness of life. I come against cares of this life. All assignments to trip us up and get us just thinking, wow, I got to just make it through the day. I break that. I thank you for this army of yielded vessels that you're sending out in the highways and the hedges, wherever they go. And Lord, they will walk, I declare, will walk in that anointing like Peter walked. They'll walk in the anointing that you've called us to walk in, to tell people good news and to demonstrate. So I just thank you, Lord. I just, those of you who would like this, I'm not going to go any much longer. But anyone who has, I just want to pray for those who, for some of you who want this. Do you want dreams to increase, the language of the Spirit to increase? Just lift your hand up higher, dreams are one of the languages of the Spirit. It's while you're you're consciously sleeping, but the Holy Spirit's still speaking. Father, I thank you for increase in the dreams, increase in signs and wonders in this house. Just lift your hands back up to him. Lord, I ask for fire to come on our hands. Fire of love. You said we lay hands on the sick and they recover. You say we can address evil spirits and they leave. I thank you for people getting saved, born again, because spirits leave. I thank you for people turning to their hearts to Jesus like Jamal did because of gifts of the Spirit, because of healings. I declare Tree of Life is a tree of light for signs and wonders. In this new season, I declare it, Lord, activate it now by the power of your Spirit. Thank you, Lord. One last thing before I give this back over to your pastor. I had someone the Lord wants to heal arms today. Someone with pain in your arm. It's like either a circulation thing. I don't know what the word thrombosis is. But the Lord wants to, and I'll just pray with you, our prayer teams, after we're dismissed. So these can hold. So this is just later. But arms, thrombosis, or circulation in the limbs. I think thrombosis has to do with circulation. Is that right or no? It does. Okay. And then someone with fluid in the lungs. It's almost like you have a walking pneumonia. And the Lord wants to release honey from heaven to clear out your bronchial tubes. Just even now receive it. If it's, you know, you got to go get to the restaurant or something, you get healed just there. You don't have to come up. So. Someone with their left leg, pain in the back, a sciatic nerve going down the left leg. Is there somebody with that? Just raise your hand if that's okay. He says, just little graces. The Lord's saying, I know you. I know you. I love you. Now, this is the last one. Someone, brain scan, headaches, but I don't know if the word mini strokes means anything. Just like the little, not that you're having a stroke, please don't hear me, but there's some sort of thing with the brain function, the functioning in the brain. Lord, I just ask now for you to have your way, just to show these and anyone else who needs physical healing, as they've already been prayed for today. Father, I thank you for your church. Thank you for their hearts that move your heart. We love you, Jesus.